Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast. I'm Mike Sweeney.
And I'm Jesse Gaskell.
We're writers of Conan, and we love to talk about what's going on behind the scenes here.
Yeah, mostly about ourselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes other people.
Yeah. But today, we've got really great guests.
We do.
Yeah, we're very excited about today's show.
I know we always say that, but time we mean it. I don't know. Maybe we don't always say it.
Who do we have?
We've got Liam Cunningham.
Holy cow, from Game of Thrones?
From Game of Thrones. He plays Sir Davos.
Sir Davos.
Sir Liam Cunningham. I'm knighting him on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's so charming.
And he's still alive. He's still...
I can't believe he's still alive.
A viable character in Game of Thrones.
I'm worried for him this week, though.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I just think he's too good.
I think he's gonna run out the clock on that.
Yeah. I hope so.
And maybe he'll be in a spinoff. And who else do we have?
We have a very funny comic from New Zealand named Rose Matafeo.
She's great.
Yeah, she had a really funny set on Conan this week. And we also are going to talk to our executive producer, Jeff Ross.
Yay. We got Jeff out of his office and down here in our podcast studio. He's coming in to talk about the TV upfronts. It's a whole week where the networks trot out their new shows.
They razzle-dazzle.
Yes.
And he's, advertisers.
He's been going to them for 30 years, so he has a lot of opinions about them.
Mostly negative.
Yes. So if you like some negative energy, you'll enjoy
this
interview.
Stay tuned. And without further ado, here's Liam Cunningham.
All right.
Well, I don't know how we did this. We got an incredible booking.
Yes, amazing.
This week. We have one of the stars of the biggest show on television.
Right now.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about somebody else.
No.
I was aghast. I was waiting to see who was going to surprise you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hint to our guest.
Yes. If you recognize the accent, it's Liam Cunningham. He plays Davos on Game of Thrones.
And there's
have you
only
heard of it?
Two more episodes left to go.
I know.
Yes. And we can divulge, right? You don't mind that.
Yeah, you can tell people everything.
The king.
If you know. If you know.
No, I mean,
I do.
My guess is your character is too nice. You're sort of the moral compass. You're definitely going to die.
But then again, you've got the guys who are very much cleverer than I'll ever be, who are probably thinking, yeah, that's what they're expecting.
That's what they'll expect. You're right.
Expect them to do the double bluff, I believe it's called.
Are people gambling on the outcome in Vegas?
There has been huge gambling. Since
really?
Since the early days, yeah.
Wow, since the early days. Oh,
yeah.
But certainly
for this last season, the bookmakers were inundated with bets.
So what are your odds?
How are you not allowed to bet? Because you know.
Well, what I wanted to do,
I said this to
Dan Weiss and Benioff. What I wanted to do on the when the betting story kind of broke back in Ireland, what I wanted to do was dress up in my costume, and then do you have them here, a bookmaker's office on the high street where you can go in and bet on horses and stuff? You can only do that track here, can you?
You can bet on horses. It's called off track betting.
Off track. Okay. Well, we have like shops that you walk
similar.
In. And, you know,
I think they still have them.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, what I wanted to do was get a friend of mine across the road on a long lens with me coming out with a little yellow docket, ticket where I've kind of betted on stuff, but in my costume, and just send that out. And said, but I never, as usual, these reasonably decent ideas never come to fruition because I'm so lazy.
Well, you can give us X amount of money. Tell you what, we'll keep it secret. We'll go to Vegas and put the money down
for you. Yeah,
yeah, you could
and
do.
We'll take a finder's fee.
Yes, of course, a substantial finder's fee. I'd imagine
10%.
Or I could see him also throwing us off so that we drive up the
odds.
The odds for the wrong person.
Yeah, give you like that's a good idea. Actually, yeah. Give you like you know 20 or 50 grand to put on
your
me
diabolical.
Or somebody. Yeah. We're just talking hypothetically now, of course. And then while that drives the odds up, I'll bet on somebody else. Because yeah, you know, nice.
And but you were on tonight to promote a new show.
You're yes,
on something called The Hot Zone.
Indeed, for the wonderful people at Nat Geo, National Geographic.
And that's already been shot. That's wrapped.
Yes,
yeah, so start airing.
Well, I know people tend to look at Game of Thrones and think we did it last week. I finished last July.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was live the way they're doing live musicals. Yeah.
But I finished that last July, and then from October, right. November, I was right. in Toronto. With the wonderful Juliana Margulies and Noah Emmerich and Topher Grace and various lovely people. And then a month in South Africa, in December. And so we shot this incredible story, true story, where Ebola was unleashed in Washington, 10 miles from the White House.
That was a best-selling book.
Yes, indeed, The Hot Zone, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So so this, and the, you know, it sounds like, you know, some sort of historical story. It's, you know, over 30 years ago or whatever.
Right.
As we speak in the Congo now and in Central Africa, it's at the moment, it's the second largest outbreak of Ebola that they've ever had. And if that thing escapes, the possibility of a pandemic is incredibly possible, shall we say.
Right.
Well, that's terrifying. That's scarier than the Night King.
Yes, it is. It's the Night King pathogen form.
Can we bet on who lives and dies?
Oh,
in the
that's harsh. Harsh, dude. Harsh. This is real life. This is real life.
Well, I would have...
From
your body,
30 years ago.
Did your body go into shock being in a climate like South Africa's after having been in...
No, I was in the home of rain, which is Ireland. Yeah, yeah. No, at South Africa, I'm kind of accustomed to. I used to live in Africa in the 80s.
Oh.
In Zimbabwe when I used to be a real person before I became an actor.
Wow. What did you do there? Yeah.
I used to do rural electrification.
Oh my God.
One of the places I looked after. I used to put high voltage electricity into wherever people needed it. So villages and wells and boreholes and. And one of the areas I looked after was the National Park of Zimbabwe, which is the size of Belgium.
Wow.
And it's 16,000 elephants and all that sort of thing. So the weird thing was, 35 years later, I'm back in a four-wheel drive car, an SUV, not even an SUV, a Land Rover, driving around Africa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretending it was 30
right.
years ago,
wow.
which is what I actually did.
You
I
were
did
there,
the research
yeah.
30-odd years ago.
So you closing did, the were circle. You doing the continuity for the show? Like
I did have this, to have a chat with him. He wouldn't do that. And also the two crappy Land Rovers they gave me nearly killed me and the other actor. Just as well I knew how
oh
to drive
God.
Them.
Did you make all the cast go to Zimbabwe with you to show them where yeah, you used to
be? I did try to go back. But every time I try to go back, if you've got a huge thunderstorm or the timing didn't work out. But I've been trying to get back for 30-odd years to see my little depot where I used to work.
Yeah. And see if the infrastructure you did, if it,
yeah,
you know, how it's holding up.
Yeah.
It's a Lululemon now. Yeah.
High voltage. That makes me think you're a very careful person.
That would have been nice. Apart from a couple of times I nearly killed myself when I was in Zimbabwe on high voltage wires. Yeah. Yeah. Which is one of the reasons I wanted to get out of it.
Like how many volts have you taken?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but yeah. I remember one of the things we used to have to operate these switches.
Yeah.
Which are almost like these things from Frankenstein, from young Frankenstein, where you pull this big, they're called knife switches. And in reality, I shouldn't have been doing it in this drizzly rain because it that conducts. So
yeah, that seems like the first rule is don't do it in the rain.
And you were wearing metal shoes.
No, that's the funny thing. You put down like a 1-inch thick rubber mat.
Right.
And you also wear these, you know, your household rubber gloves, except these things are a quarter of an inch thick to stop this getting through. That didn't stop it when I couldn't move. The horrible thing about electricity is that your muscles operate by electricity. So if you grab a live wire, your muscles automatically contract and there's nothing your brain can do to open it because it's just got a bigger signal than the one of your brain. The only way to do it is to hack your arm off is to get it off. So I was, this is fun, isn't it?
No,
this is hard. Hardcore.
Yeah. But the only reason I'm still here is because when I was opening this big switch, which was like a shovel handle, this thing, if you pull it from the top and it goes in a semicircle down, and I was starting to feel and was falling over, basically, and about to die when I fell against the switch and it opened up the last 3 or 4 inches. So that's the reason you're able to talk to me now.
You just happened to fall.
I fell on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was a couple of, there was a couple of other stupid issues like that I did that really are should be dead. Darwin took his eye off the ball. Because I should have gone the way of the velociraptors and T-Rexes and stuff. But anyway,
wow,
that's a wild story.
Yeah. So then, what made you leave that? You transitioned you to acting after. Well, no, I knew that.
Oh, I don't know.
Sounds such a great. You were having a great time there. Where did you become an actor?
Where?
It was Africa. I came back because I got a leave from my job. I used to drive a yellow van around Dublin, fixing people's minor aches and pains with electricity. And I'd never been anywhere. My first time.
Minor aches and pains. Yeah. Using it like a.
No. It's a metaphor for broken electricity in their houses.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
You're taking me too literally.
Charlatan, yeah.
Oh, I am a charlatan.
You were doing electric shock on the
especially
side.
Especially with my acting. More charlatan acting from Cunningham.
This could help you with your depression.
Yeah. But what happened was, for the last year and a half, I was looking, as I say, looking out there at this park, which is like 16,000 elephants and all sorts of like ridiculous stuff. And it was amazing. And I loved every minute of it. And when I finished my time in Africa, they put me back in a yellow van driving around Dublin. And somehow that lost its glamour. So I said, what else can I do? And I just love drama. And I said, look, I need a distraction. So literally I went into the acting game as a weekends, evenings, that kind of thing, as a distraction, because I was bored with my real life. What I didn't expect was to fall in love with it. And I fell in love with the acting and just... it just got me hook, line, and sinker, and that's how I ended up doing this.
That's wow. Great. And you know, go ahead.
No, I was just, that's so inspiring, I think, to probably all the small-time electricians out there.
It would be inspiring if I meant it. It just happened by accident. I was like a pinball just hitting against things, and I just happened to end up in a cone and shell.
First, almost get electrocuted, and then go into community theater.
Yes.
But you know what's great? I you tell me, but don't you feel like probably when you started this new career, having other work experience, you had kind of a maturity going into it.
Yes, my ego was in check.
Right, that's what
I didn't believe
about.
The publicity, and still don't.
Right, that's good though.
Yeah, and the transient nature of all this.
Right,
it's very healthy. Yeah, they do say that it's always good to bring some of your real life experience. Well, I didn't start doing this. I didn't start being an actor for money until I was 29.
Wow.
So so I've been doing it nearly 2 years now.
No one can see you.
Literally.
you've been on our show when we go to Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to Comic-Con this year just for fun?
You know what? I don't know. I thought it was completely ruled out because the show was over and whatever. Yeah. But if it were up to me, I'd go back and say a big thank you to the fans. But if it were up to me, I'm twisting a few arms at the moment, but I have no sway. They won't even take my calls.
It's over.
They've done with me.
Liam, who?
I hear a lot of that from Vice and Benioff.
You graduated.
Liam Neeson? No, Cunningham. I was in the show. What show? We're on to Star Wars.
They're doing Star Wars.
Allegedly.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can't you just be done after Game of Thrones? Isn't that enough?
You should kill yourself after. That's all right. So how is things going to get any better?
Yeah. I agree.
You think they'd want to do it nice?
Let's have a suicide pact.
Let's do it live on the podcast. Someone get me a samurai sword.
I think you should be electrocuted. That's the way that you should go.
That would be poetic. Justice.
The wiring here is awful, so it's easy to do.
It is possible.
Well, I've plenty of free time. I'll fix it up for you.
Good. Where are you going next?
After this, I'm going to eat something. Okay. No, you mean in life?
No, right.
Literally after this. I have electrical
work in my house.
I thought you were inquiring about my well-being.
Of course. Right. No, are you in Hollywood the U.S. people. For a while?
No, I do this, and then I only got here yesterday, so my head isn't.
Oh, wow.
It's completely wrecked.
Well, you sound pretty good.
It's an illusion. Friday, I fly back. I land back in Ireland on Saturday.
All right.
I say hello. I remind the dog of what I look like on Sunday. And then Monday, I fly to Madrid to start a movie.
Oh, that's great.
I'm doing a bank heist.
Wow.
Called Away Down with the wonderful and hugely attractive Mr. Freddie Highmore. Do you know Freddie from The Good Doctor? And Psycho, Bates Motel.
My wife watches Good.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes,
he did the Bates Motel. He was, what's his name? What's the killer in Psycho? Norman Bates.
Norman Bates.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're going to rob the bank of Spain.
Oh, good. So you're a bad guy.
No, I'm not a bad guy.
Right.
I'm the mastermind. It's different.
Oh, okay.
The mastermind.
You're doing it for profit. So you're going to Spain, which sounds great.
Yeah, Madrid.
But is part of you, did you love working so close to home on Game of Thrones all
those
years?
It was wonderful. I could have commuted.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, Westeros, to Belfast to Dublin is less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
When we were in, there was another studio that we had called Banbridge, the linen mills. It was an old mill that they used to make linen. Yeah. And that was 45 minutes from my front door. I literally could have got up in the morning, put my costume on and drove over.
They probably wouldn't let you put your costume on yourself.
No, they would, because I'd have stolen it, along with everything else that I stole out of the place.
Did you try to talk them into shooting the hot zone up in Ireland? Guys, just could pass for the cop.
You just have to wait till the rain stops.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, true. It's a similar kind of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you did take a lot of stuff, you said, from the set.
Yes.
Are we going to see that stuff show up on eBay? I mean, what's going to...
Depends how my career goes. If it shows up on eBay, you'll know the career's not going well. No, my daughter would stab me.
Spain
she has
heist.
A wall of awesome. That's what she keeps all the stuff.
So you did it for your daughter.
Technically. That's what I tell her.
Right, right.
Well, we did want to encourage you to go ahead and take anything that you want from Conan's dressing room.
Yeah, yes. I've taken the big nutty head. What's that thing?
Oh, yeah.
The bobblehead.
That's only 25 feet tall. I can get that on the plane.
No one will see you.
It's supposedly the world's largest bobblehead.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think there was paperwork to get a Guinness record, and it was like, oh, who can be bothered?
I've actually come back from my costume that I wore. I made a wonderful movie here called A Little Princess with Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh.
Years ago, 1994, would you believe?
Yeah.
Just in one of the, with Mark Johnson producing, and it was Alfonso's first Hollywood movie.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it's a beautiful movie. That's still incredibly proud of it.
Oh, great.
And I made that across here. I can't remember, stage 29 or something, whatever.
Oh,
it was.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's great.
27 or 29.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, it's nice to be. Yeah, it's nice to be anywhere.
Well, we have to wrap up.
I know.
You have to go eat.
We promised you. Yeah, we have. Where are you going to go eat? Did you tell us?
I'm going to tell you.
This doesn't air until Friday.
Yeah, don't worry.
I'll be gone. Yeah. Where am I going? I don't know. Probably go to Chateau Marmont or something.
Oh, good. Oh, I love that.
The frog.
Do you get recognized?
I have to tell you this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know all the famous history of... the Chateau.
Yes.
My kids have always been saying, Dad, you have to write a book. You really should. And it was all these wonderful people and all the deaths and destruction that happened in the Chateau. And I always kind of went, I don't consider myself a real actor until I've upset the management.
Yeah, until you've peed on the carpet.
Until I've vomited on my own head. So whatever it may be, in front of the owner. They threw us out. We had a party after an LA premiere, and the management were fantastic. It wasn't just me, it was all of us, including some of the management from Game of Thrones. We shall remain nameless. And we were in this room, and they came up. When we opened the door and everybody had to keep quiet, the guy leaned in and he goes, "We haven't had a complaint from one of your neighbors. We've had a complaint from everybody on the floor."
Oh, that's great.
Every room on the floor that we were on had rung the management screaming to get us out of there.
Oh,
and
wow.
They stopped serving us alcohol. Can you imagine how insulting that is to an Irishman? Imagine stopping selling alcohol to an
Irishman.
You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they
in a chateau.
Well, you crossed that off your bucket list.
Yeah, that's not the bucket list, man. I'm a real actor.
They
I got thrown out of the chateau.
Right.
That's fantastic.
That should be part of the experience you can sign up for at that hotel. For an extra charge, you can get thrown out at 4 in the morning.
The entire floor
and they lied
bonded
to us. They said, "Come downstairs, we'll give you drinks downstairs." And they lured us out of the room to get us down.
Clever.
When we got down, they went, "Bart's closed."
laughed at us.
They literally were holding a bottle in front of you and go, "This way.
Stick approach.
All right, watch the steps."
Yeah. Well, now you know to stop at CVS on the way to your room and pick up some liquor. Yeah,
exactly.
Excellent.
Well, Liam Cunningham, thank you so much. And we will be watching the next two 2 weeks.
So will I.
To
I haven't seen them yet.
See if you get killed.
So will I, to see if I get killed.
And we'll be watching The Hot Zone.
Hot Zone.
Please do.
And what, when does that air?
Memorial Day. Is that 27th
of May? 27th
of May. Mm-hmm. And it's over 3 nights, two per night.
Oh, great.
I'm glad National Geographic's into dramas now.
Yeah.
why not?
Yeah. Everyone else is. And they've done a good job on this.
Good. Great.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Rose.
Hello,
Rose. Matafeo.
Matafeo. I'm trying to say, I never have said my last name.
You're guessing.
Out loud.
It's hard. So I in the last couple of years, I've been trying to make it right.
So how are you saying it these days?
Matafeo? Mata? Like Mata? Yeah.
Matafeo.
Any thought about just changing it to Rose?
Share. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. I've always thought about that. No, apparently, because I'm half Samoan, so half Polynesian. Cool. It's a Polynesian name. But then apparently in Spanish, that actually literally means kill ugly. Person.
Yeah, oh my God, ugly. I just realized that.
Yeah.
So it means say,
kill. Matafeo means kill ugly.
Oh my.
Yeah.
All right.
So
well, then you don't want to lose that.
It's hugely powerful.
Yeah.
And someone suggested I change that. But no, I think it's quite a good energy to bring to my stand-up.
Yes. Yes. For those in the know.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're from New Zealand.
I'm from New Zealand.
Yay.
Is there a big Samoan population in New Zealand?
Yes, I think it's the largest Samoan population. Oh my God.
Are you asking Siri?
Siri's recording this.
That's amazing. You asked a question and your Siri was activated. Oh,
that's creepy.
Well, that's crazy.
You know what? I can't trust the guests all the time.
Yeah, I know.
To have the answers.
Double check. Yes, no, we're very close to the Pacific Island. We're a Pacific Island ourselves.
Right,
of course. Yeah. So yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah.
Has anyone been to New Zealand?
I was just there.
Jesse was
there. Over Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Were you?
I spent Christmas and New Year's there.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Rose is stunned.
The Hefe track?
I'm truly
really?
Stunned. I mean, like, that's crazy. Like, did you enjoy it?
Oh, my God.
This is the embarrassing thing about being from New Zealand is that when anyone has been, I act like, you know, it was my house.
It's like, yeah, you're
did you have
the
time? Did you have enough, like, you know, like, shit, like, the bed was fine?
Everyone in New Zealand was like that. We were, I couldn't believe you would drive. Well, first of all, no one locks up their bikes, which I think is insane.
Oh, yeah.
There are just bikes laying around everywhere and no one steals them.
Oh, that's great.
That's strange.
And then people leave out, like, free stuff from their garden on the street.
Yeah.
So you're it's like, hey, we grew too many carrots. Here's extras.
Yeah.
And just on the side of the road.
A lot of honesty box kind of fruit stalls.
Yes.
Vegetable stalls out front of houses. Yeah, it's a very small town, small island vibe. I do enjoy it.
Yeah, everyone was so friendly. Even the police that pulled us over, we got pulled over twice for speeding because we didn't realize the speed limit. It never goes over 60 miles an hour anywhere. 100
they had extra tickets.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, I've been driving for the first time in LA, and I felt like I've been diesel or something.
Yes.
I'm going crazy. Going over 100K.
So you got two police encounters. Yeah, we had two tickets, and then one of them, they were filming a reality show.
Yes, Police 10-7,
like
probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like it's like New Zealand's Cops, and we were on it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's incredible. And that is the biggest, like the most widely, I feel like, exported television show, along with Border Patrol, which is a big one for us, which is at the airport with all the people because we've got really strict border.
So strict.
Things.
The customs.
Customs is very huge. Like you could bring in like ammunition, but you can't bring in a sandwich. You know what I mean? It's a very like.
Yeah, we had to run our hiking boots like through an X-ray machine because if you have a speck of pollen that is not native.
Oh, when you're leaving.
Yeah, then they like make you throw your. No, when you come in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to bring on invasive species.
Right.
No, they were not worried about you stealing precious pollen. take it.
We love our allergies here. Do not take them.
But yeah, no, I love New Zealand.
That's
also,
so cool.
Your prime minister is amazing.
Jacinda, she came to my show the other day.
What?
She's very cool.
I'm starstruck. She's incredible.
Yeah, she's... This is how small New Zealand is that I've known her vaguely from being the arts minister in Auckland and stuff. So
Is that where you're from, Auckland?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
She's come to our improv show. She's done a monologue at our improv show before.
What? Get out of here.
She's amazing.
Wow.
No, she's like rich. She's in her late 30s and she... Mm-hmm. became prime minister when she was not married. She just had a boyfriend and they had a baby engaged. Out of yeah. wedlock.
Yeah.
And it's everyone's like, this is cool. That would
Didn't
never
she
happen
she just
here.
Have another baby?
Or? No, no, she no. just got engaged.
She just got engaged. Okay. Yeah.
But she, yeah, she's great. She's cool.
She's yeah.
I did my show in front of her and there's a lot of questionable material in there. And I was like, oh, I'm doing this in front of the prime minister of New Zealand. That's cool.
Did you call that out when you were doing the show?
No, I didn't address it because I feel like it would, she was kind of on a date night. So,
And
I was kind of like, you know, I didn't want to bother her. But she has to like travel with, it would be with, you know, those agents or whatever who have to suss out the place beforehand and all that. But I just find it funny that like her tastes in comedy dictate their evening. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have to go see this mad woman doing mm-hmm. a show about, you know, whatever. I just think that's quite funny against their will. I mean, I bet there are many people against their will who come to my comedy show. I mean, those people are very officially against
it. That's how it works here in the United States as well.
Well, yeah, we should contextualize you for the listeners.
Please, please.
You are on the Conan show this week. It's your first time on the show, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You're doing a one-woman show.
I'm doing I've been doing a one.
Horn Dog.
Horn Dog. Yes, I did it in Edinburgh last year and
great.
All over the place.
Are you doing it in the United States this trip?
I did one show in February, at the start of February, and it was super fun here in LA. But I want to come back and I want to do it maybe in New York later on in the year or something. But
Are you doing other shows on this trip or did you come here just for this?
I've been doing a couple of shows like warm up gigs and stuff. But yeah, I haven't gigged in LA ever. So it's been very interesting. Like done like, you know, spots and stuff.
Right.
So that's been really cool and interesting.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
It's very interesting. I would not describe my stand up as very confident, you know. It's very and it's a very jarring thing to come to this states, and everyone's very confident. Everyone,
I mean, not even just comedians.
But that's the thing I've heard, they're all faking it. But
the comedians are the least confident people in the world.
Exactly. I know that for sure. I think it's in the UK. I'm based in the UK. I think people are much more like painfully aware of it. But I've been inspired by the confidence levels of everyone. I've felt more relaxed. I'm a very nervous person on stage and off, some would argue. But,
That's real nerves on stage, right?
Well, okay.
Because it doesn't seem that way. It seems like,
oh my gosh,
it's your persona.
I mean, I don't know where it ends and begins anymore. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still nervous.
So do you have a bead on New Zealand comics versus British comics versus U.S. comics?
Well, I mean, the confidence thing is it's definitely like a huge thing. New Zealand comedians are, I don't know, I think New Zealand has some of the best comedy. Like so much good comedy comes out of New Zealand.
Yes.
Why do you think that population. Is? Because it's such a nice place. And that's what would make me think that there wouldn't be good comedy.
Well,
there.
That's a good point. I think what it is that it's such a weird, it's so isolated. It's so far away. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're allowed to just
do
your
birds
thing.
Too, and sheep. Yeah.
Birds and sheep. We've got a lot of birds per capita. Specifically, a lot of bird comedy in New Zealand. A lot of our material is about birds. And
that travels because they're a worldwide phenomenon.
Exactly. I hear you've got birds here as well.
Yes. Very confident.
Yeah, exactly. Confident birds.
Oh, man.
To be fair, you do have confident birds. Our birds are, that's why you can't bring in hiking boots with any pollen on it, because the birds. We'll see that and die. Like every bird is endangered in New Zealand. And you touch like a, you know, a tree, it will die. It's very delicate ecosystem.
Except for they're trying to get rid of all the invasive possums.
Are evil. Possums can get out.
Those are invasive.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is that when the evil British came, they brought along guns and stoats and weasels, and the stoats and weasels and possums ate all of our endangered species eggs, and we've been undoing that ever since. Yeah. Really.
Everyone's so mad at the Brits.
I know.
Still,
I love
it. It's like leave stoats and weasels off. Just don't bring stoats and weasels, guys.
Yeah.
You have to go out of your way to put stoats and weasels on a boat.
You really do. And
that's obnoxious.
Possums are like endangered species in Australia, but like we hate them in New Zealand.
You started putting them into sweaters.
Oh my God, yeah. We make these like nipple covers that they make out of possum fur and stuff now. Like they really take it a bit too far in New Zealand.
I just learned about the emu war in Australia. Did you ever hear of that?
No. The emu war?
The emu war. It was... They try to eradicate emus in the 30s, ranchers in Australia.
And then, why?
Just because they were destroying crops.
Oh, okay. What about in cane toads? How they introduced cane toads?
They're trying to another thing, and eradicate them now.
Right. Well, that's what I was worried is that maybe they'd introduce wolves to try to eat the possums or something.
And then, I don't know why. What is wrong with us? We just introduce bigger things to eat the things we don't. And then they get out of control. We never learn. It's ridiculous.
We're bringing in elephants to stomp them.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Embarrassingly, like 12 years.
Why is that embarrassing?
Yeah. Well, it's because I don't know if that is reflected in my the quality of it. Because I started when I was
a teenager.
I hate
when people are like, oh, it's 6 months and now I'm
wild.
On Conan. Yeah,
oh,
that's terrible.
Oh, my God, no. I still find it uncomfortable calling myself a comedian. It's very, I don't know why it's
taken so long. You have the imposter syndrome.
100%. Oh, yeah. My God. I started when I was like 15. I'm doing like open mics and I've done it since then. So, yeah, but I still don't really ride it on an airport kind of customs.
Right.
What do you put as your profession?
I used to do performer, but then I was like, maybe they think I'm like some sort of dancer.
Oh, like an exotic dance.
Yeah. I'm a performer.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what kind.
So now it's tax account.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
They saw the nipple tassels.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of possum, the nipple covers. That's fine. No, I put improviser. No, I'm just kidding.
They're like, no profession. That means something you get paid to do.
Yeah, I work at improv. Probably right. I think I just write comedian now because it's just brutal because they ask about it.
Sure.
Ask for a joke.
Oh, that's the worst.
They say, where are you performing? How would you describe your particular type of comedy?
Oh.
I don't know, man. I'm not funny. That's what I say. And they're like, oh, self-deprecating.
Oh, God.
Nice.
You're not a U.S. comic.
Yeah, get out. Turn around. But I've been doing it for a while, and it's been going okay, and I've got no other skills to fall back on.
Great. So.
Is this your first late-night appearance in the U.S.?
Yes, okay. It is.
Oh, that's exciting.
Does New Zealand have late night shows or similar? Okay.
No, everything shuts down at about 10.
Yeah.
As you know.
People go to bed.
Yeah. No, we don't. We don't. We've got, I've done bits and bobs of telly around, but no, there's nothing like the late night culture. Even really in the UK either. It's amazing here. It's so cool. Because I would grow up watching late night shows from the US and New Zealand. Which was always weird and fun, it was it's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah. And so what are you doing to prepare besides this podcast?
I don't know. I get very nervous. I tend to freak out. I mean, this is going to be amazing to go out after I completely bomb, die on my ass. And be like, wow, she didn't see it coming. She did not see it coming.
We can do a post-tape if you'd like.
Please, can you? Like, this was recorded pre her appearance. Please take everything with a grain of salt. No, I don't know. I get terribly nervous before everything, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because I feel like a certain amount of nerves is good because it helps you to do
otherwise
well.
You're a sociopath.
Exactly.
It's a sign of intelligence.
Yeah. I would cling to that. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
moderately concerned.
I often say self-esteem is the enemy of progress. I think it's it's a great thing to have low self-esteem. It really motivates you to try hard. I think I just try and relax and I don't know.
Did you bring people with you today? Like, do you have friends or agent or
your team?
Yeah,
my team. Oh my God, one day. Yeah, a team. That's all I want. One day as a team. No, I've got my lovely manager from England and my friend Chelsea is coming to see me.
Cool.
And that's about it. I don't know anyone else in LA.
You don't need a big entourage.
Are there New Zealand expat comics in London? Like, do you hang out together?
Yes, there are a couple. Yeah, and there aren't any I don't know. Of any in LA, actually. A couple in New York. But we definitely know. We do hang out in the UK.
Probably Australian comics, too.
Some, yes. But we stay away from them.
Yeah. Your natural enemies.
Our natural enemies in the wild. And
they're
in comedy
possums.
Yeah.
No, but isn't that's probably the Brits doing, is to keep the Australians and the New Zealanders from getting along.
It's
then
the Brits again.
Yes.
It's the Commonwealth.
Because then you'd rise up and overthrow them.
Exactly. We'd become republics. And
if you throw Canadians in there.
Oh my gosh. Game over.
Yeah.
No one could.
Goodbye, royal family. Them.
Yes.
It's wild that we're still part of the Commonwealth.
We're
so far away. We're literally in the opposite side of the world. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I won't say that too much, though, because I do have a visa to live in England. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you. Thank you for letting
They're hoarders. They don't like to throw things out.
100%.
Yeah. It's like in the very, this is in the very back shelf of the garage.
They don't even visit that much, you know? Like, come on. This is ridiculous. But
you still, are there still British royalty, like, on your money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty much like, it's kind of similar to Canada and Australia.
Right.
It's wild. Like, we'd have God Save the Queen play in the, in cinemas. Like in the 50s or whatever.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It's so funny.
But, you know, I mean, I think the UK government are going to listen to this and probably revoke my visa. So I love the Queen.
That's more like
doubt
it.
They are going to listen.
I love the Queen.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry.
Are you excited about the new royal baby?
Yeah, I met them. What? I did the Royal Variety Gala.
They came to your show.
They came to my No, I did that variety gala they do at the end of the Christmas every year, and it was Harry and Meghan, and they, They meet everyone, and weirdly, I was the very start of the line.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
I met them. It was quite funny.
That's exciting.
It was very funny. Meghan, like, glided over.
Yeah. Do you actually shake, do you touch them? Like, do you shake their hands?
We totally touched.
Oh, I would have had such sweaty palms.
I touched the hell out of those hands. Oh, they were crazy. They were... Pantera's really tall.
Well, she's an American. She's a good icebreaker. And then do.
Yeah.
She did kind of seem like she didn't know who I was or why I was there. She was like, hi. She's like, well done.
Yeah.
I was like, on what?
I'm working on getting pregnant.
Yeah. She was pregnant at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But she was like, obviously, that crazy amount of like pregnant of like looked gorgeous and was like,
glowing
and ridiculous.
So fertile. Yeah.
I did the horrible thing. Like, Harry was like, oh, we went to New Zealand. Recently, and I did that. I went, oh, did you have a nice time?
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. New Zealand's so popular now. Mm. Yeah, I'm surprised you're surprised.
No, it's
such a big
place.
Tourist destination.
Oh, yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Like Lord of the Rings.
Gorgeous.
Have you been all over? I mean, have you done like, because we did one of the Great Walks, which was the reason we went.
Yes, right.
And have you done some of those?
That's the weird thing about coming from New Zealand is that sometimes
you don't do the things.
Yeah. But I have done bits and bobs. Like, I've traveled around, like, mainly doing comedy tours and stuff around the South Island and all of that. But I do need to go back and properly look in my own backyard, you know.
I mean, I hadn't been to the Grand Canyon until last year.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's exactly the same as that, isn't it? It's like, you know, when it's there, you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
It's fine. I'll get to it one day.
I still haven't been to the Pacific Ocean out here.
Wow. Yeah. I heard it's great. I don't know.
What are you doing while you're in LA? Do you have any?
What have I been doing? I've been kind of, I've been having a wonderful time. Just been walking around bookshops and pretending, you know, to be like.
There's one bookshop here in LA.
Pretending that I can read. Just that one bookshop. I've really enjoyed it.
That's it. That was it.
And it's a set.
Yeah. All of the books are like empty.
These books won't come off the shelves.
It's kind of like a decal of a bookshelf, you know. I've just been enjoying walking around and seeing, like, I like a lot of mid-century architecture. I went to Palm Springs for 4 days.
That's great. Oh, you went alone?
I went alone.
I love that.
It was incredible. You should go places alone. I just had a good time. I went and ate in a lot of restaurants alone. A lot of concerned wait staff around about me.
Did you drive down to the Salton Sea? I'm obsessed with the Salton Sea.
No, I didn't.
It's this man-made sea that is now drying up. It's around an hour south of Palm Springs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all meth heads now.
It is. People have abandoned it. They wanted it to be the next Las Vegas. I mean, the next Palm Springs in the 60s. And the salinity levels went way up.
Wow.
And people just moved away, and now when you drive through,
it's all dead fish.
It's dead fish and gridded vacation towns with no buildings.
I'm going to go there
next time you come.
It's really weird.
It's great.
Sounds great. Sounds like a dodgy place to go alone, but you know.
I'll go
with a friend.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting to have you on the show tonight.
It is, and we can't wait to break a leg, and hopefully. We won't have you back on after the show because that'll mean you did.
I want to do a post-match. I want to do a post-match. I want to come back and do some apologies.
Well, I don't think it's going to be necessary.
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully not. Touch wood.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Thanks
Rose,
for having me.
So lovely to talk to you.
Thanks. Yes, thank you.
Lovely to talk to you guys.
We're going to be on our best behavior.
Sure,
the
why
boss
not?
Is here.
Oh, why would
the
this stop? Exactly. Just because it's being recorded.
Have we started yet?
Of course we've started.
This is it.
We're
welcome to
done.
The show, executive producer Jeff Ross.
Hi,
Thank
Jeff.
You. Thank you. Hey,
welcome to the show. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Now you're here because Next week, it's the annual Turner Upfronts in New York City. All the networks, television networks have their upfronts in New York next week. And our producers thought it would... that listeners would be fascinated to hear about television upfronts.
I want to know whose idea this was.
I don't listen. A fan sent it in. The important thing is
really unlikely.
But this will probably be podcast history. I don't think anyone has ever discussed a TV upfront.
Because
on the millions of podcasts,
it's never been discussed out loud.
No,
it's because it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
And why do you want to explain what upfronts are?
Yes, sure, as best I can.
Well, sure.
It is when the networks, cable networks, and broadcast networks trot out their wares to the advertisers, and they
sound like streetwalkers.
They pretty much are. At least probably the ad salespeople are.
Well, it's sort of like Fashion Week, where the designers all show off their new collection.
And look for buyers.
Yeah.
What an analogy.
It is. But I remember the days at NBC, because we've been doing the show for like 25 years, and we've seen probably 25 of these and been to too many of those 25.
They used to be back then at Radio City Music Hall.
NBC had them at Radio City.
Right.
And they also had it at Lincoln Center, I think. They were also at Lincoln Center.
Okay.
But they would spend so much money. They would nickel and dime us on our budget, and then they'd spend like what would probably amount to a third of the show budget for the year on the upfront.
Wow.
Jeff, you need to divorce your own personal stake.
Think of those advertising buyers.
So
pisses
well, what's
me off.
Involved in these presentations? Are people bringing elephants? I mean, why is it expensive?
Well, I've never been to it, but apparently the CBS one, when a certain person was running CBS,
right?
They used to have, I think the Who performed. They brought out the Who.
What?
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, they had a sitcom for a while, remember?
That is the ultimate selling out. I can't think of anything.
They killed off Keith Moon and the show kept going.
And they'll rent out Radio City, or in the case of Turner, they do it at the theater at Madison Square Garden, and I think they're in Atlanta now, like in a warehouse doing rehearsing and all this. They spend crazy amounts of money and put a lot of pressure on it, and then the Turner one, at least, doesn't last very long. I think it only is like an hour.
It's in the morning.
But I don't know if you remember, Sweeney's, the NBC one, we used to either go or watch on, because we could watch it somehow on the feed.
Well, it was on the NBC feed.
And it would go on for like 3 hours.
It would be on a work day, and all work at the show would come to a complete stop because it was the NBC executives coming out speaking very kind of like this. If you think last year was great, wait till you see Emeril on a sitcom. And you'd be like,
and then they bring Emeril out.
Yes. Well, no, they'd bring the whole, they'd introduce a new show with like 15 cast members. And at the end, they'd make the cast, they'd fly in the cast members. But
to parade them out.
But no one knows. Like there might be two, one recognizable face, and the rest are kind of ingenues, and they just would bring them out. It was just all a crazy cattle call.
And then of the 10 shows they show, or the 10 shows that they parade people out for, at the end of the year, there's like two left.
Yes. Well, that was the other, all the writers would watch because they would show 10-minute highlights of like their new sitcoms, and some of them play to absolute silence, and you just couldn't even believe these things were made, and they were trying to sell them to people. It was
the other
fantastic
thing they would have to do with it. The reason we talk about the NBC one, because it just was longer and a bigger production. I remember people like Lorne Michaels or whoever had to sit like in the second row for like the whole 3 hours.
I can't believe he put up with that. Isn't there a point at which you're rich enough to not have to go?
Well, I remember we were always like, when it would get close to the upfront at NBC, we would always go, please don't ask, please don't ask, please don't ask. And then
they'd always
sometimes
ask.
Well, we didn't do it every year, but at Turner, I think, right? I think we've done it every year.
Yeah, Conan's gone every year.
Oh, 1 year. 1 year we didn't have to do it. It was 1 year, but like 3 years ago.
But Turner's been very fun and loose.
Yes, they've been cool about it.
Yeah.
Where does the Turner take place?
The theater at Madison Square Garden.
Oh.
Formally, nothing to do with the fact we work for Turner now.
The only two people in this room who would know this is me and Sweeney, formerly called the Felt Forum.
Yeah, baby. Boxing, right?
No.
What? They had boxing at the Felt Forum.
Maybe they did.
Yeah. Sure, just play along, Jeff.
I think I saw your favorite band at the Felt Forum.
The Kinks.
Correct.
All right. Not dating ourselves at all.
Do you think they're performing as part of the Turner Upfront?
Not dating ourselves.
That would be great.
We
have the Kinks.
That would be.
What?
If you love the Who sitcom, wait till you see the Kinks. Right, share an apartment.
But anyway, the Upfront presentation is always like an eye-rolling event for us.
Yeah.
But you get a free trip to New York. And you probably got a week of dinner reservations lined up. Let's hear where you're going.
I do.
What are you excited about?
You know what? Nothing. This gets into all another conversation about New York.
You haven't been excited about anything since the mid-70s. Right?
I'm excited about our next travel show.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Can't talk about that.
Yeah. No, we can't. I just go along for the ride because I'm the one who has to figure out where we got to eat.
In addition to eating next week, do you go to all those parties? I've never gone to a single party.
I just got the invitations. They're having two events. One is like a dinner drinks thing, and then the other one is like, I think they have like Diplo. That I guess he's a DJ. Kids, Diplo.
Right.
Come on. They have Diplo. Like it starts at 10 o'clock and goes till, and it says it goes till whenever, and then the invitation or something. And I'm like, yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Maybe. 11 o'clock.
You may not see me there.
I will drag you to that.
Sweeney's will be there.
Oh. You may not see me. Gotta be there.
Oh,
for
Sweeney
the dip.
Wouldn't miss Diplo.
No yeah. way. So, yes, that will be very exciting.
But it's, you know, I know you really want to talk about this topic, but the Upfront is not the most exciting
Are you kidding me?
thing in the world that we are involved with in our lives and careers.
We got to mention Emeril and the Who. This is cutting edge stuff.
I do remember when they brought out Emeril.
They brought him, yeah.
I remember that one. I think I was sitting in the audience for that one.
You were pinching yourself.
Was that a sitcom?
Yes.
It was
this.
A sitcom.
It was called Emeril.
But they literally would have him come out. You know, at least they went with him and not like Paul
they
and Dean.
They might have even given him jokes.
Yeah, but they were, you know what?
It was
a few years ago, a friend of mine brought it up. He was obsessed with that show. And I'm like, well, let's just watch it on YouTube. There's only like six episodes. It was nowhere on YouTube. I was like, well, I'll dig it. It's got to be on Amazon. It wasn't on Amazon. I had to buy it on the internet from some shady guy in Great Britain. It was the only way I could get it.
Oh, wow.
And we were all excited. Of course, we still haven't watched them.
They were, I mean, I can't think of them now, but they were always like, they had these big announcements, like, we're bringing back the cast of, like, I don't know, some NBC show.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God.
No, so many of them were DOA, and it was a fun train wreck to watch.
Yeah. Are there also like technical presentations? Do people do PowerPoints about
yes.
Q1?
They usually bring out. I don't know why I'm laughing. Well, because it's actually funny. They bring out all the networks. I think do this. Well, at least I've only been to the NBC one and the Turner one. But the head of sales comes out.
Right.
And the head of sales at Turner, his name is Donna Speciale, and they're always like, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
at Donna, 10 a.m.
Oh yeah, 9.
Yeah,
Donna Speciale, and it's like." Oh. You know, it's like, okay.
Yep. It's an alternate universe.
You go, this is show business? Really?
I know. And then they leave this with what, charts, pie is, charts.
Oh, yeah. She get, you know.
Graph charts, all different
cross types. Platform and yep. phrases.
In
that
color.
You're like, what does this yeah. mean?
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. And then they save the attendant and they do the entertainment a little later, I think.
I love how they never fess up, like, they never apologize for the previous year.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know the best.
Sorry about those shows last year.
Do you remember the time? It was the time, actually, Conan didn't have to do it. It was when they had the Inside the NBA guys be, like, the hosts of it, and they had the
right.
set.
All right.
It was actually not bad because those guys are funny, you know.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're great together.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That was a good idea. I don't know why they didn't do it again. Mm. They seemed to like to do a lot of things over and over. Why wouldn't they do the one that worked?
Well, it's not too late. You can talk to them. The
you should be in charge,
a week
Jeff.
Away.
Yeah. You need an executive producer. Well,
somebody in show business should be in charge.
Well, have fun there next week.
No. You'll be with me, Sweeney.
I'm just there to tell Conan, like, yeah, that was great when you told Shaq he was really tall. Good one, Conan. Good one. He'll ask you back for next year.
Well, there's the, when is this?
Here
is
the Phil Forum.
This week's podcast?
This is for this
All right,
week,
then I can't
yeah.
say what I was going to say because I don't want to get us in trouble.
Oh.
I was going to talk about the things that we may do. And because there are times where they go, oh, yeah, you shouldn't do that. That'll piss off this guy or that guy or this executive.
Right. Why don't we just say that happened back at NBC, but not on the current network, of course.
Oh, no, no, they would never do such a thing.
Well, we'll have to do a follow-up with you.
Well, that we'll do it when we come back.
We'll find out where you ate.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, where I ate. Yeah, that'll be exciting.
We should have you on every week
as the topic of the upfronts.
Yeah, I know. I would like that.
Yeah.
It'll be like following you on Instagram.
That's exciting too.
It is.
Well, you know, we'll be in New York next week. Actually,
I know.
Are you doing this in New York?
Yeah, we're recording.
We're recording some interviews. I'll
come by and tell you where I've eaten.
Ex late night writers.
Well, we could talk about how the upfront went. Because will it be after the upfront? Will it be after we do it
Thursday? Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Or we could be backstage, and you can comment during live comment during
the
upfront.
Good.
Well, there will be definitely something for you to talk about because something stupid will happen.
All right.
Great. You heard it here first, folks.
Okay.
For Sweeney to talk about.
Great. More upfront chat.
There'll be something that happens in that show where you'll go, oh my God, they didn't really just do that.
And the public demands it. They're going to want follow-ups too. Oh. All right, folks. You heard it here first. An upfront
exclusive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, merry upfronts, Jeff. Or what do you say?
Jesse. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You don't say it just to me. It's to Sweens, too. We're holding hands on this one.
I try to protect.
On all of them.
I try to divorce myself from this whole business process. Okay.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. That was our show. Thank you to Jeff Ross.
Thanks, Jeff, for psyching everybody up.
For the big upfronts. Actually, Jesse and I will be at the upfronts next week as well.
Yeah.
We're going to New York to interview
some former writers for Conan.
Yep.
And performers.
Some late night
really
greats.
Really good list lined up of interviews that you guys will hear.
People we can't lure out of New York City. So we're going to them and it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great.
Yep.
But even though we'll be in New York, we will have an episode next week.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Great episode next week.
Yeah. Because Hollywood never sleeps.
That's right. With the great Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah. Jimmy Pardo.
Very excited.
Anyway, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
And we like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Samples. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.